Everyone's asleep. Everyone but me. And I can't help feel like I'm doing this all by myself.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. We're broadcasting live on AmericanFreedomRadio.com. We have a very special guest today. It's Dane Wigington, and I hope against hope that this is him on the line in the 530 area code. Dane, is that you?
Yes, sir, Vincent, here. Good to go.
Whew. You wouldn't believe the stress I was under. I was just like, oh my God, there's no Dane. I don't know his number. Yeah.
No worries. Yeah,
there was hog-like squealing going on in the street. Anyway, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Vincent, and thanks for addressing this most dire issue that so many are amazing as of yet unaware of.
Yeah, well, addressing this issue for me is a simple measure of putting on a very scary-looking paintball mask, full-body camouflage, and going out there with giant chemtrail banners and stuff like that around to major urban areas in New Zealand. It's quite fun.
Yeah, maybe that's what it takes to get people's attention, but if people understood the gravity of this issue, this is not just another issue. This is, if all data is considered, this is the issue that if it's not dealt with and if it's not stopped, everything else quite literally would be a moot point soon enough.
I would say so, and I've had so many people recommend that I get you on the show, and the chief reason why they want you on the show for some reason is because you scared the hell out of them with your knowledge.
I've been at this research for a very long time. I was forced to put my life on hold. It has been for a decade, and it will remain so unless or until these programs are stopped. And that's because the data is scary. It should and must be looked at. And again, if people understood the degree to which this is affecting the entire web of life on the planet, then... And every breath they take, in fact, when they exit into the great outdoors, they would pick up this torch and help us carry it because all is at risk, virtually all is at stake with these programs.
Well, let's get into it then and not waste any time. Tell us a little bit about yourself and what it is you do, because often for people who are first-time listeners, I mean, I've seen you on the documentary, What in the World Are They Spraying? But for those who are unfamiliar with who you are and what you do, a little bit of an explanation, and then we'll get into the really scary details.
I'll make it quick. You know, certainly this is a battle I never wanted or imagined I would have to face. I have a background in renewable energy. I'm a former Bechtel power employee. I know it's a four-letter word now. So it should be, and my home was on the cover of the, I worked on some of the first commercial solar installations in the continental U.S. My home was on the cover of the world's largest renewable energy magazine. I moved to the Pacific Northwest to find clean air. I have a very large solar voltaic system, and when I got here and started to lose on various days 30, 40, sometimes 50, 60, 70% of my solar uptake from whatever these aircraft were emitting, I dove into research and quickly came on the subject of geoengineering, and I didn't want to believe these programs were going on and was skeptical at first, but as I began to do water tests at the state-certified lab and saw levels of aluminum over several years escalate from already high readings where there should be none of 7 parts per billion escalations of as much as 50,000%, Vinny, in 6 years. I mean, it's literally toxic rain falling on us, and it's virtually killing the boreal forest around me in what was once a pristine area only a decade plus ago.
Yeah, and these sort of things, people don't notice, or at least they can't connect the symptoms unless they're doing that kind of testing, right?
No, and then you'll have, of course, you know, the disinfo folks out there that, you know, state things like, well, aluminum is a very abundant element on the planet, which it is. It's something like 8% of the Earth's crust. But here's the point that people should remember when they're looking, or if they see any of this disinfo. Aluminum doesn't float around in free form. In fact, it does not exist in the environment in free form. So aluminum in the rain is absolutely wrong, period. And it's bioavailable now. That term people should remember. That means it's in such small, refined particulate form that it can be uptaken by every living thing. And in fact, according to reports, I work with some German and Norwegian researchers, and they're seeing what they believe to be horizontal gene mutation in all plant life from these geoengineering particulates, which means
Could you explain what is horizontal gene?
It's basically affects a mutation of the genes, because these particles are so small, they affect every aspect cellularly of organisms, plants, animals, us, and so it's virtually altering. It appears to be altering, you know, genes in every living thing at some level. And so, again, people should understand, Vinny, that the particulates we're talking about are nanometer particulates, according to the geoengineering patents and according to the best testing we can do. So a nanometer is 1/1,000,000,000 of a meter. We're talking about inconceivably small particles, so they're uptaken in everything. In fact, according to internationally recognized and internationally award-winning neuroscientist Russell Blaylock. People can look this up online. I don't want anybody to believe anything I'm saying, but here's an internationally recognized scientist, top in his field, stating these particulates are so small, they enter straight through the lung lining, go straight into the bloodstream where they adhere to cell receptors, slowly but surely compromising the entire human organism. So, I mean, the lethality of these programs can't be overstated, and they're altering the entire biosphere on top of that. So there's nothing that's not being negatively affected by these programs.
And these particulates are so small, of course, they can just penetrate straight through the skin like it's nothing.
Yes, I mean, absorption through the skin is another factor, but these tiny particulates are extremely harmful when they're inhaled. And people talk about aluminum and not using aluminum pans or aluminum deodorant, but inhaled aluminum is much more lethal than ingested aluminum. So, and we see ailments going off the charts. We see ADD, Alzheimer's, autism, COPD. All these respiratory issues are virtually going off the charts. In the continental U.S., between 2005 and 2010, respiratory mortality went from 8th on the list of mortality to 3rd. We believe, or we're hearing from some inside channels, we don't have hard data on this yet, but it may have, in fact, moved into number 1, and the CDC might be trying to hide that. I can't verify that, but it's absolutely gone from 8th to the 3rd from 2005 to 2010. So, and there's no explanation for this coming from mainstream anything. You know, they skirt the subject, and all the system testing is designed not to show these particulates. I've been in high-level EPA, Environmental Protection Agency, in California. This is in the state capital. I mean, these are huge organizations. I've been in high-level meetings arranged by a congressional rep. Five high-level EPA people told to my face, in so many words, the system is rigged not to show these particulates. So here we have this incredibly environmentally conscious, supposedly, state of California, with a system that is designed not to show these particulates, because they told me they're mandated to test for combustion particulates only. The rest of their samples go straight out the window. So you can't find what you're not looking for, and this is what people need to understand. They think, well, if this was out there, we would know. That's not true.
Well, that mentality, if it was important, I'd know about it, is the height of ignorance, in my opinion. You know, it's just, look, Hitler didn't say to the Jews, look, I am going to exterminate you all eventually. Just allow me, just give me more powers and more powers over the next 10 years, and then I'll kill you. He didn't tell you that until the last minute.
Correct. And then, you know, people ask the question always, well, you know, how could this be going on? Why would they do this to themselves? You know, certainly they're exposed, whoever they are, you know, the corporate power or global corporate power structure. But I point people to things like the detonation of 1,800-plus nuclear bombs, the total obliteration of tropical paradises, and the contamination of planet Earth forever from these programs, including the people who designed and implemented these programs of testing 1,800 nuclear weapons. There was no concern for the consequences with that, or with the use of depleted uranium all around the globe, or a multitude of other things we could mention. So we're not dealing with sanity or reason here. And that's what's important for people to remember. I mean, these programs are absolutely going on. This metal is coming from somewhere. It matches the geoengineering patents exactly. What we see in the sky, which is called solar obscuration, as the term implies, it's the blocking out of the sun. That's the express goal of geoengineering patents. So here we have high-level people like, for example, John Holdren, Obama's science advisor, calling for advocating these programs. We have patents that describe exactly what we see happening in the sky. We have the exact elements named in those patents showing up on the ground in massive, massive quantities. We have global dimming at 20% or more now. Many people aren't familiar with that figure, Vinny, or that term. Fully 20% of the sun's direct rays in the last 5 decades now no longer reach the surface of the planet. The Earth is literally encased in a membrane of toxic particulates at this point. Yes, we have pollution. Yes, that's a factor. But by far the largest factor appears to be stratospheric aerosol geoengineering. And so the scope and scale of these programs is very difficult for one to get one's arms around. And quite literally, they are affecting every form of life, from the birds, the bees, the bats, all the things that people hear about in massive decline. They always find a scapegoat for, like, some chemical, for the bees, for example, for the colony collapse disorder. They'll name some ag chemical as the culprit here. Well, I live in, a very remote area. Our bees are just as dead as the bees down in the farmlands. They're not spraying any ag chemicals up here. It's obviously a much greater, much more all-encompassing source. And, of course, the elephant in the room is never acknowledged because there's simply too much at stake. They're too heavily invested in these programs. They're trying too hard to hide them.
Well, there's the element that, well, basically, because people aren't crazy, you can't understand insanity, can you? And that's people's problem. You're not thinking like a psychopath. You're not thinking like a completely crazy out of their mind person. You're thinking like a reasonable person. This is the wrong thing to do when you're trying to understand who these people are and what they do. And I think this is maybe a result of global dimming, meaning the intelligence of the general population.
Well, you know, on that note, we just got a Harvard study a couple days back that, you know, not that we didn't know this already, but fluoride is absolutely lowering IQ of humanity, period. And along that line, since we know many are now rejecting fluoridated water and so forth, according to the German researchers that I'm working with, and we're posting some of their data in the next few days, their last 60 water tests for the rain, for precipitation, all contain fluoride. It appears, and they've referenced all industrial sources and cannot account for this fluoride from anything else but the aerosol spraying operations. So it appears that fluoride may in fact be part of the mix now. So if we won't take the fluoride in the water, in the drinking water, they'll put it in the rain, and if it's bioavailable, it will be uptaken in everything, just as I described earlier. So that effort to reduce cognitive thinking appears to be reaching new levels.
Well, and another thing is people put the why and the how, you know, why would they do that? Or how would they be doing it before all the other factors that are supposed to come first? Like in journalism, it goes like this: who, what, when, where, and then why, and then how, before you even start thinking about it. Whereas people don't think like that at all. They start with the why would somebody do this? And because they don't understand straight away, they're automatically going down the wrong track. I've got this real concern that people simply don't even have the cognitive ability left to understand something like this is going on.
It's, in many cases, unfortunately, that it seems to be a mental block, as you describe. It seems true, but perhaps it'll help to try to peel a few layers of the onion back. So here's what we know about some of these programs as to the why. First, it's not hard to understand that if one controls the weather, one controls the planet. And the power is always being sought by those who instigate such programs. Now, what we see the military strategic purposes, and I'll give you a few recent examples what we believe to be connected with these programs. Whenever a country doesn't toe the line for the U.S. in recent years, something catastrophic or cataclysmic happens with the weather. In the case of Pakistan, fully 20% of their entire country was covered in water when they began to show resistance to U.S. policies. Thailand, when they refused the U.S. a base there, the U.S. requested for, quote, weather monitoring purposes, and I fully believe that the Thai government knew it was for weather modification purposes. Thailand was absolutely obliterated with unprecedented flooding. You have, an incident that really credible data indicates could perhaps be connected to HAARP in the whole Japanese earthquake issue. And that's, HAARP is another subject, but it's directly related to these programs. So now we see Japan being really the only Asian nation that's completely conforming to U.S. policy. And again, we've seen so many examples of these weather-related disasters that seem to open the door for the U.S. either invasion, incursion, like in the case of Haiti. There's just simply too big a chain to just be coincidence. And in the case of HAARP, and it's important people understand this, that's a high-altitude auroral research project, and these are extremely high-powered radio frequency antennas. We believe there's as many as 18 around the globe. China and Russia also have them. And these are installations that can heat areas of the atmosphere to 15,000 degrees Fahrenheit over huge areas, hundreds of square miles, and that causes a bulge in the atmosphere. And that can, in turn, steer the jet stream. And this is not hypothesis. I mean, the data is clear on the capabilities of these installations. But they can also, it appears, if these frequencies are beamed into very specific areas of the Earth's crust, it can also, it is felt, cause seismic activity. Back to the spraying. The spraying ionizes the air, which makes the air more conductive, which helps these signals. So, again, the ramifications from all these programs are vast, but to bring it down to the simple form that everyone can understand, if everything you eat and breathe and drink is polluted with these particulates, our days are numbered, all of us, and that's how serious this issue is.
Yeah, that's about right. And Dane, we're going to ring you back through the caller line after this break here, just to get you connected through the studio directly. Thank you for calling in the first segment. And when we come back, I'm also going to play a wee clip of Michael Laws, a local radio show host here in New Zealand, insulting chemtrail activists. It's about a 90-second clip that I've got here. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. Dane, I just want to play this for you so you know that radio show hosts and the rest of the world are demonizing chemtrail activists too. You'll love this. Listen to this. This is Michael Laws on Radio Live, and I was driving my car for 10 minutes. I barely ever drive my car, hardly ever leave the house. Coincidentally, this is what I heard.
Well, I'm looking out my window at the moment. The chemtrail conspiracists would be going mad at the moment. Absolutely, the sky is being seeded by giant jetliners, seeding the clouds with God knows what. It's part of the mind control of the human race. It's probably all connected with extraterrestrials. Yes, just in case you think I've gone completely potty, no, I'm only reciting to you what the chemtrail conspiracists, who I met, ironically, on a wet Saturday afternoon, and Hamilton, of all places, there they were besieging a traffic island, seeking to alert me and every passerby as to the great chemtrail conspiracy. You know, the condensation trails that jet airliners leave when they get to about 30,000 feet. Well, there's a group of people, nutty people, who believe that it's all part of an international conspiracy to seed the weather and other things. Because what those jet airliners are really doing is releasing chemicals into the sky and therefore changing the evolution of the human race. Yes, I know. As a matter of fact, It sort of goes with the police brutality conspiracy theory to me of Ella Ikitone. But that's just my view.
Yeah, so you get that, don't you?
Yeah, and let me respond to that, if I can, Vinny. First of all, you know, we hear those rants here, too. In fact, we have challenged such people to any online debate, have never, ever been accepted. In fact, I issue that challenge on the air right now. I will debate on air anyone on this issue. I don't care what their credentials are. And I've yet to be accepted for any such debate. This guy mentions no fact at all, no info, only rhetoric and ridicule, and going into ETs and so forth. Never, they are very careful never to mention the word geoengineering, because if they did, someone might actually go to the internet and find out that there's hard science to back this up. So they never mention that. They only go into the big chemtrail rant, and they talk about condensation trails. Well, let's go into that just a hair. According to NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, their original data on condensation trails, conditions required for any such naturally occurring condensation trail behind an aircraft, 70% humidity, 70 degrees below zero. Now, they're since rewriting science, just as they do after the Fukushima event, for example, when they up the, quote, safe level of radiation to, you know, 10,000 times what it was the day before. So they do rewrite science, but the conditions necessary for a naturally occurring vapor trail are almost never present, except in the coldest regions and the coldest time of year. When you walk down the street and you're exhaling and your breath leaves condensation, you don't walk a mile down the street, look behind you, and see some hanging cloud in the air. Condensation dissipates almost immediately. So, you know, again, this kind of rant is typically when someone's ideology has been challenged, he doesn't have fact one to back up the rant. And if they ever do, or they ever think they do, let's get them on the air and see how long they last.
Yeah. Well, Michael Laws, that radio host that I just played for you, he's like the Rush Limbaugh of New Zealand, you know, one of those kind of guys who I'm right and everybody else is wrong. Basically, they resort very quickly to straw man argument and ad hominem attacks, because that's really all they got.
That's all they have. That's all they have. And again, there's a mountain of science to back up the fact these programs are going on. It's the biggest unreported story on the planet right now, period. And based on a decade plus of solid research on this issue, I believe any that do any objective research will come to the same conclusion I have been forced to come to. Short of nuclear catastrophe, there is no greater nor a more immediate threat than stratospheric aerosol geoengineering. And on this issue, Vinny, and again, the people with like yourself with the courage to address this, I hold in such high regard, and you will be vindicated soon enough, because this lump is getting too big to fit under the rug. And organizations that have been bought, sold, and paid for in order to help hide this lump, like the Weather Channel, Weather Central, and virtually every other major weather modeling and weather disseminating agency, they've all been completely infiltrated, purchased by the same powers that run these programs. We can back that up. We have articles on that on geoengineeringwatch.org. By the way, that's the site which I am affiliated with. But the 28th of this month, the Weather Channel is starting a new series called Hacking the Planet, where now that people are starting to question these weather modification programs, now they're going to try to fire up their spin machine to, we believe, to attempt to muddy the water, but again, it's getting too big to fit under the rug. Now you have scientists trying to explain. We saw two articles in mainstream media in the last day trying to explain why it's starting to snow at temperatures far above freezing, or why these warm events suddenly turn into snow. And that's another issue that people should be aware of. It's called artificial ice nucleation for weather modification. We have the patents. The technology is there. The Chinese have admitted they're doing it. Yesterday on NPR in America, National Public Radio, the Russians have said, don't worry about snow in Sochi. We can make it snow at 59 degrees. I mean, they're admitting they have this technology, and we see it across the U.S. now, Vinny, about every rain event. We watch their satellite radar all day long, every day. About every precipitation event happening right now through this winter is being artificially ice nucleated. That's why we see snow at 40 degrees, 45 degrees, and no one seems to question that until recently, and now they are. So now you're seeing the big spin machine start with these weather modeling agencies. And by the way, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, all their modeling is done by Raytheon. What a coincidence. Raytheon, who is up to their eyeballs in weather modification programs. Lockheed Martin does everything for the FAA. Raytheon also does all the modeling for the National Weather Service. So you have the Foxes not just in the hen house, but running the hen house. This apparatus for these programs is absolutely inconceivably huge.
Oh, well, the Foxes built the hen house, and they're the farmers, too.
That's right. You're absolutely correct. So
it's the only way that things like this can start up. I did have a mainstream media reporter come around to my house and interview me based upon that Hamilton chemtrail protest, which Michael Laws mentioned in that clip. He was talking about me, and that was quite funny to me because I've called into a show before and he hung up on me. I think I was talking about Occupy or something like that, maybe doing a little bit too much self-promotion, that was my fault. But anyway, what I found very interesting is that it doesn't matter how much you try to tell people, they simply won't believe it, even if they see it. Another chemtrail activist down the way in New Zealand, the Environment Minister of New Zealand named Dr. Nick Smith, of course, Dr. Nick Smith, he was walking along and it was very cold down there and there was a plane laying a contrail, 15 plane lengths or so, right next to another plane laying a chemtrail. And he tapped him on the shoulder and said, Mr. Smith, look at that, okay? These are two distinctly different trails. And he said, they're both just contrails. They look distinctly different. There's no similarity whatsoever. And they, even when they see it, that is the insanity of it. That's why I think maybe we get frustrated so much. And I don't know about you, but I've witnessed many people get very, very angry at the fact that just people don't get it. And it's not a good thing to get angry when people don't get it, because when you get angry at them, they won't get it. And they'll instead get angry with you.
believe me, I've been at this a long time, and I've experienced more than my share of that kind of encounter. But we're challenging their religion. We're challenging their very paradigm of reality. Somehow they think they're on the inside of the system, and they would not be cannon fodder like the rest of us, exposed to some sort of experiment, some grand experiment, which is exactly the case. So when that notion is laid on them, their defenses go up and they react very aggressively. But again, there simply is no longer room for denial as we move into the coming months, because now, and I'll elaborate on why I say I believe they will not be able to keep this lump under the rug much longer. They have triggered feedback mechanisms in the Earth's climate systems that cannot be turned off now. I believe, obviously they know they have triggered this, and I believe now there is a fraying in the power structure beginning to occur. This is when the geoengineering programs, which I believe they, in their complete arrogance, felt they could carry on indefinitely, has now released forces that cannot be stopped. Methane mass expulsion, and I'm not an Al Gore fan, I'm not a carbon credits fan, those are all shams, and Mr. Gore has no integrity from where I'm standing. But that doesn't change the reality on the ground. Again, I relate this to the medical industry, which exists to capitalize off death and suffering. That doesn't mean death and suffering isn't real. It's real. These climate feedback mechanisms are very, very real. The damage that's been done to the climate by geoengineering is very, very real. The methane alone is flooding the atmosphere, according to all the methane data imagery we have. And we look at this regularly. And this is a global game-changing event of such significance that they are trying desperately. This is why the ice nucleation, the temperatures are, in most cases, far too warm, and the precipitation far too warm in much of the northern hemisphere right now to cause any natural snow event except at the higher elevations. So they create these ice-nucleated events, which does cool the air mass down below it. It's a chemical process, and it does cool the air eventually, but I believe they're playing every card they have to try to hide the fact that these programs have helped trigger feedback mechanisms that now, quite literally, Vinny, are putting all life on Earth at very real and very immediate risk. And if these programs
aren't... Dane, yes? this occurred to me yesterday. It's problem, reaction, solution. They create the problem. Then once everybody starts to notice there is a problem and starts reacting to it, I'm wondering, Dane, from your experience, what solution are they going to propose to all of this? Carbon taxes?
It depends on what level of this paradigm you examine for that solution. All these carbon taxes and all this notion that we can somehow reduce our way out of, or reduce our expulsion of these gases. This is all complete theater. It's all theater. If the Earth had been allowed to respond on its own, as man was emitting carbon for the last 150 years on a larger scale since the Industrial Revolution, we would be in exponentially better condition based on all the data we have. The planet responds to this. The boreal forests, as there's more carbon, they actually can begin to thrive more. And the Earth has natural compensating mechanisms. Now, I'm not saying we haven't been bad to the planet. We've been pretty tough on the planet. I don't think anybody could argue that. But the single greatest cause of total climate decimation is geoengineering, based on all available science data. And as far as their solutions, as you asked, Vinny, toward this particular issue, the methane mass expulsion, this is how radical their solutions are. According to the AMIG group, the Arctic Methane Emergency Group, this is a group of scientists, many of them geoscientists. It includes Ken Caldera. Many people have heard his name. He's a very strong proponent of geoengineering. Their solution to the methane, which is now exploding into the atmosphere, in large part caused by the very programs they're now advocating to mitigate for this. So, how do, you know, this is the definition of insanity, that to do something on an even bigger scale and expect a different result than you've already gotten. So now they're proposing the geoengineering as if it's not already going on and having already caused this problem, and they're proposing to use the HARP facilities, the ionosphere heaters, to virtually nuke the atmosphere with these high-powered radio frequency signals to try to degrade the methane. They're also proposing 1,000-ton sheets of plastic. This is about as sci-fi as it gets. 1,000-ton sheets of plastic with 200-ton stainless steel frames to put down on the seafloor to try to cap this methane. So, this is really far beyond ridiculous, and that's the sort of things they're proposing.
Okay. Right. That's a good idea, then. You know, this reminds me of an article I read in, I think it might have been the Daily Telegraph, after the Fukushima event happened. Our great solution for solving this massive environmental possible crisis of the Fukushima nuclear plant is to cover it with a giant polystyrene dome.
Well,
and, you know, it's just, these people are not only insane, but it seems that they're really dumb. Either that, or they think everybody who thinks that they're smart are really, really, really dumb.
You know, it could be a combination of all the above. I mean, I've had communication with a fair amount of scientists on this issue. I've had honesty from some NOAA scientists I spoke to 6 months ago at a marine laboratory who admitted to me off the record, because they're afraid to speak on the record. They have no First Amendment rights. But they clearly stated they're aware of these programs and they're, in their words, alarmed as hell. Then you have geoscientists, geoengineering scientists, Ken Caldera, David Keith, for example. Clearly, and people can see this with their own eyes, when I was able to get a question to David Keith at the International Conference in San Diego in 2010, the 100-something journalists in there, they allowed 3 questions. Mine was one. And when he was pinned down on the record as to had any studies been done, human respiratory effects, environmental toxicity, and so forth, clearly he tried to dodge the question by stating, well, there's so much junk in the air already, a little more won't hurt. I mean, I'm paraphrasing. But when he was pushed, when I pushed one more time, had any studies been done, and he answered on the record that no studies had been done, and he said in his words, could terrible things happen tomorrow? We don't know. Well, what kind of a statement is that from a, quote, scientist that's pushing the dumping of 20 million tons of aluminum nanoparticulates into the atmosphere to say, gee, terrible things could happen, we don't know. But they live in these sorts of bubbles. They don't think about the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. And there are psychoanalysis of these people in power, and that is their common thread. No comprehension as to the consequences of their actions, even to themselves. As you stated earlier, Vinny, we're not dealing with sanity, period. And when he was pushed on that question, he glared at me for 15 minutes afterward, clearly agitated that his little bubble was prodded a little bit.
Sounds like a narcissistic reaction to me. We'll be right back after the break with Dane Wigington, ladies and gentlemen. Are you scared yet? I hope you are, because there's good reason to be afraid. It's a good thing we're on the Vinnie Eastwood Show, where we kind of like to have a little bit of fun where we delve into the darkness. Back in a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Dane Wigington, geoengineeringwatch.org.
Around your head. have grown.
And like in Pakistan.
That soon you'll be drenched to the bone.
Like in Thailand. Welcome back. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. You know, Dane, I was just thinking about this over the break. You're familiar with the term wigging out?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, this is, I presume that... has this joke ever been made to you? You know, the reference between the scary information you give and people's propensity to wig out at the prospect of it? And incidentally, your name's Wiggington?
Yeah, I've had it bounced off me a time or two, yeah.
All right, yeah. Good. I'm not that creative then.
No, it's, you know, nothing on the over the air ever before. But, you know, again, this is not a job I wanted in any sense. I'm not political. I belong to no party. It's just simply something that if it's not stopped, then all bets are off. And the data to back that statement up is absolutely clear. So if people... As people understand the gravity of this, and they will, because again, the decimation it's causing is manifesting itself by the day. And quite simply, if these programs go on, Vinny, we're not going to have anything left to care about in very short order. To put a little fact and figure behind that, the species extinction rate today, and this has just been recently upgraded, is thought to be approaching 10,000 times natural variability. That's a 1,000,000% of normal background extinction. Up to 200 species a day. You'd think they'd be talking about this somewhere in the media, but they're not. And yes, there's a lot of problems on the planet, various reasons for this, but there is no single factor that even compares to geoengineering in this regard. 70 to 80% of those extinctions, plant and animal, are fungally related. And interestingly enough, geoengineering appears to be massively proliferating fungal expansion around the planet. I mean, when you fill the atmosphere with particulates, it's a platform on which fungal can proliferate. When you poison organisms, when you sterilize soil from the natural bacteria and microbes that live there, fungus moves in. And, you know, again, these dots are not hard to connect. You have the bats in North America dying of a fungal infection never before seen. You have sudden oak death, fungally related. I could go on and on, but I mean, geoengineering... You have microbes that live in the atmosphere. Many people don't know this, in fact. And there's reports just recently surfacing on this. But the atmosphere is full of microbes. They're just beginning to identify. So what's the ramification for those? These are responsible for much of our weather, and now they're being exposed to this massive particulate saturation. Again, the web of life from top to bottom, atmospheric microbes, soil microbes, plants, animals, weather, bird, trees, everything is being... affected horrifically by these programs. So as people can't hide from this any longer, and that time is about now, then we hope that we'll have the big wake-up call where people start to realize how dire this is and help us expose this issue.
Yeah, well, it's ironic, really, considering that all the geoengineers are obviously not fun guys. Now, I was thinking as well, I've got a banner up on my wall here that one of my listeners sent me. It says... Let me see if you can rattle these off, because I always wanted to get a geoengineering expert, rattle these off to them and see if any of them are actually not there. So it says barium, chromium, radioactive thorium, cadmium, nano-aluminium-coated fiberglass, known as chaff, nickel, desiccated blood, mold spores, yellow fungal mycotoxins, ethylene bromide, and polymer fibers. Any of those not ring a bell?
None. Those are all familiar. Uh-oh. Now, again, we only test for primary elements. In Northern California, we've done extensive testing for aluminum, barium, strontium, manganese. The Carnicom Institute has done some deeper testing with some of the biotoxins that appear to be in some of these mixes. Now, on that note, I live in a remote area, and... if we look at the weather modification aspect of that, that's one aspect. But on the biological experimentation, which we now know global powers do and have done routinely throughout history, but on a cold winter night about 3 years ago, I was on a mountaintop in the Pacific Northwest looking down at the largest city in the Northwest, rare blanket of fog over that city, which is Redding, California, and I saw a KC-135, that's a military tanker, come down over right over the mountaintop I was on, probably 6,000-7,000 feet up, very low for that type of plane in our area, dumping, absolutely dumping at night over the urban area. Now, what's that about? I don't know. In our area now, we have a virtual epidemic of staph infections here. Some 50% of this county in Northern California, Shasta County, is said to be chronically ill now. 50 or 49%, I believe the paper published. Is that connected? It's hard to have proof positive in that such arenas, but the bottom line is we know the contamination's here, we know the local agencies know about it, and nobody will say a thing. I mean, I've been in Northern California water quality. They're having huge spikes of aluminum in the Sacramento River, which is the drinking water for Southern California. They won't say a thing. They won't come out of the shadows. They won't let me publish any of their testing. I mean, it's like this giant elephant in the room dancing about, you know, while all of academia, or most of academia, knows what's going on, and they just simply don't have the backbone to stand up.
Yeah, and we keep repeating this over and over, don't we, Dan? You know, it's like, it's right there, it's right in front of your face, and you still don't see it. It's right there, it's right in front of your face, and you still don't see it. It's unbelievable. And I think it's because we're trying to understand the mentality, and the thing is, it's not comprehensible. People are I think, infected with a government brand of insanity, whereby they've forgotten all the lessons of history. The government is not your friend. Authorities are not your friend. They don't do right by you, traditionally, in the main. They, in fact, do the direct opposite. Most of the exterminations and wars and things of that nature, as far as I know, have been started by people who rule over other people. And the people go to war because they believe those people who are ruling over them, and they really shouldn't.
They won't for long. In this particular arena, on this particular subject, again.
Don't you mean this particulate subject?
Yes, this particulate subject. Yes. Again, because of these feedback mechanisms, I believe I read Australia hit 130 sometime this summer in Fahrenheit. Is that correct?
It was around about 50 degrees Celsius. You could fry an egg on your forehead.
I thought I said I saw somewhere that they recorded some temps of 55. I thought I read that. I'm not sure if that data was accurate or not. But the bottom line is, again, this methane issue, I keep going back to that, and it's not about GOR or carbon credits, and none of that's going to do a damn bit of good. It's all sham and disaster capitalism. But the bottom line is, I believe now, these guys, in their incredible arrogance and insanity, have now painted us so far into a corner that they are frantic themselves to try to hide what they have triggered. And we see on the methane imagery, methane is flooding from the southern hemisphere clear into, or from the northern hemisphere clear into the southern hemisphere. And we're talking about an event that will unfold in the next 1, 2, 3 years. It's unfolding now. I mean, we're already seeing temperatures. They lie about the temperature readings here in U.S. It's very typical to see the reported temperature 5 degrees less than the actual temperature on the ground. So from every angle, Vinny, they're trying to hide the magnitude of what's unfolding. And methane, and this is what people should remember, methane in the atmosphere over a 10-year time horizon is 100 times more potent than CO2 as a greenhouse gas. This has happened before. The last time it happened, a PETM event, Paleocene-Eocene thermal maximum, 55 million years ago, global mass extinction. 9 out of 10 biologists interviewed today admit we are in the sixth great mass extinction. Certainly with the figures I mentioned earlier, that is beyond argument. So if this, as this methane event unfolds, if it's anything like the event that happened 55 million years ago, here's what we'll have. That event alone caused 70% plus, depending on the study you look at, terrestrial extinction. Up to 90% ocean extinction. The ocean extinction happens because as the methane hydrate from the seafloor, this is stored methane deposit on the seafloor, as it makes its way to the surface, it acidifies the ocean, which eventually kills most life in the ocean. When it hits the atmosphere, it's like a layer of glass around the planet. The heat comes in, the sun's thermal energy comes in, but it doesn't get out. And so we are already seeing manifestation of this occurrence happening right now. During this event 55 million years ago, there were uninhabitable zones of the planet where no life existed. From about 30 degrees south to 30 degrees north, temperatures in the tropics 140 degrees plus. So, again, this is not about Al Gore. It's not about solar panels or carbon credits. It's about geoengineering and the decimation it is causing to the planet, and now what I believe to be the frantic effort of the geoengineers to hide the damage they've already done by ramping up their programs even further. So, I mean, that's the ultimate definition of insanity, right? If your head hurts from pounding it on the wall, just pound it harder.
You know, I think eugenicists would be rubbing their hands together at the prospect of this, don't you think? They want to exterminate 95% of the population here on an aluminium platter.
I think it's impossible to ignore that aspect of this, Vinny. You know, we have studies from the Navy from the late 90s that on the effects of these aluminum particulates. Actually, Rosalind Peterson came up with those studies, and she's a great researcher and has extensive archives, but they know the ramifications, and they're continuing to do it, so one can only conclude that they're, at minimum, comfortable with the consequences, and at worst, that's part of the agenda. But the element of this that I believe, based on all available data, that they did not take into account was that they would trigger these feedback mechanisms that now will sink the ship with them on it. I don't think they bargained for that, and I think now that they are absolutely in frantic mode trying to undo something that can't be undone. So I think that they have cooked themselves in the same brew.
Yeah, well, I think that, again, the lesson of history teaches everybody that. Yeah, all these tyrants that wind up trying to kill, slaughter, come up with wars, or make people abscond to unreasonable demands, they always wind up getting killed by the very scumbaggery that they wrought. And this is just really no different. There's nothing new under the sun, apart from aerosol engineering. Dane Wigington is my guest from geoengineeringwatch.org, and we'll be right back after the break. Ladies and gentlemen, go get yourself some ice cubes and cool off, because this next segment is going to be really hot, I can assure you. Back in a minute.